There he is. What? Oh, shit. He's downstairs. My dog was downstairs, and I'm upstairs in my bedroom, and he still heard me say my catchphrase, and he freaked out and barked. What good ears you have, my dear. Charlie Boy with the great ears can still hear the catchphrase from way... It's okay, Charlie. I'm just doing my podcast. It's okay. So how's it going, everyone? My phone is very low on batteries. I just realized that when I started recording that I'm on death's door for battery life. So I need to plug in. To charge the phone. This is so professional. I'm plugging my phone in to charge while recording a podcast. And I'm also going to shit. I was going to start the podcast on the shitter. But then I realized that I'm low on batteries. So I got a tucklehead poking out. You coming in, Charlie? You're going to come in and hang out and podcast and shit with me? That's a good boy. Good for you. Good for you. How's it going, everyone? Unemployment hour. Rough weekend. Rough weekend for yours truly. I'll get into the rough part first. It's kind of weird. Racquetball tournament this weekend. I did not play very well on Saturday morning. And I lost a tough, tight match against a young Tanner Prentice, who I think played well. I don't know. We both skipped. He skipped a few balls. I didn't skip that many balls, I didn't think. I had trouble putting the ball away. He was very fast and made a lot of good gets. And I just struggled, and it was a weird match, and I lost. And it affects the rankings greatly. He jumps ahead of some players with that win. Congratulations to Tanner. Big win for him. And he played well and beat me, so good for him. The rankings are all weird now, and I may have to play my good friend Nathaniel Husilak in the round of 16, if I even get that far, at Nationals. And we've played in the round of 16 at both the single selection events. And as it stands right now, we would have to play in the round of 16s at Nationals. So every single national event, we'll have to have played in the round of 16. And after the last single selection event, there was quite a bit of movement that happened in the rankings. And it looked like we finally weren't going to have to play each other in the round of 16 at Nationals. So the first national event, it would have been the first national event of the season that we didn't have to play each other in the 16s. And now it looks like we're going to have to do that again. So trifecta, all three events. There's still provincials left and maybe things can change. But as it stands right now, I fucked everything up. And I have to play my good friend Nathaniel in the 16s again. That's probably good for him. It sucks that his ranking went down because of my loss. But it's probably good for him that he plays me in the 16s because he has a very, very strong winning record against me. And for me, it's not great. Nathaniel usually beats me. It's always fun to play him. We always have tough matches. Well, sometimes he kicks the shit out of me. And sometimes we have really close matches. They're usually always ending up on his side. Most of the time, but he's always a fun guy to play in. We always have good, fair, honest, hard matches. They're fun. It's just I also like to win, and one of my least favorite things in the world is losing in the round of 16s or earlier at a national event, whether it's a selection event or nationals. And right now, it appears that is the way things are going to go. So I'm not selling myself out. I'm not quitting. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm going to do my damnedest to win the whole thing. But it's obviously I would be like not even 100-1 underdog to win. I'm always trying to win every tournament that I'm entering to play. You're never trying to lose, but you I'm a realist, and I know that, I'm just pushing the poop out of my rectum right now, so please excuse the change in my vocal tone. You're always trying to win. I am a realist, though, too, and I know that I'm not your odds-on favorite to win many matches, let alone the whole tournament. But, I'm going to do my darndest to pull it out and, pull out every match I play. I'm always trying to do that, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm not saying, oh, there's no chance. I'm not even going to try. The only true losers in life are the ones that are so afraid of losing that they don't even try. So as long as you give it your best shot, then you're doing something. You're not a loser. You're giving it your best shot at least, and win or lose, you tried your best. Only true loser, Little Miss Sunshine. It's a quote from the heroin addict grandfather in Little Miss Sunshine. Says, the only real losers are the ones that are so afraid of losing that they don't even try. Or something along those lines. I'm probably a little off on a few words there in the dialogue, but it's something along those lines. And I really hold true to that, and I believe in that wholeheartedly. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try to win. And if I don't, that sucks, and I'm going to be very upset about it, like I was after my loss this weekend. I was very upset about it. It took me a long time to get over it. I didn't really go to sleep until about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning when I finally could not keep my eyes open anymore. And I basically, and that happens a lot when I lose matches. I just, until the next day, I'm not... I mean, I'm still upset about it, but now I can, sleep, and I'm not, dropping loud F-bombs in public randomly like I've got Tourette's every now and then. Like, I'm dealing, most of the storm has been weathered. I'm still upset about it, but before, I was walking Charlie outside, and every now and then, I would just drop a loud F-bomb when I would think about the loss and the match. So, nobody likes to lose. It's hard, and especially 16s or earlier. That is a big one for me that really gets my goat. So I'll do my best to not let that happen, not have that happen to me in Nationals. But I've made it tough as it stands right now with what went on this weekend. Strangely enough, though, I still ended up winning the... I've heard it said before that if you don't win the tournament, any place that you got that wasn't first, you should say placed. So you didn't win second or win third or win fourth or win fifth. You placed fifth or fourth or third or second. You placed. Well, I placed first in this tournament. I don't know that I could say that I won first, that I won the tournament, because I didn't win all of my matches. I lost a tough tiebreaker on Saturday morning, and therefore it's hard to say that I won the tournament, because I didn't win that match. But it was a round robin, and again, Nathaniel Husalak was in the tournament and got injured, so wasn't able to play and had to pull out. Him and I were supposed to play Saturday night in, I guess, what was kind of quote-unquote the final based on seeding. But, I mean, if we had played, I would have lost on Saturday morning. And, in a single elimination draw, I wouldn't be able to win. I guess with the seeding, I wouldn't have played him. I guess I came in the first seed and he would have been the third seed, so maybe we wouldn't have played in the semis. But it was, I guess, quote-unquote, the final of a round robin was supposed to be played Saturday night. It would have been a big-time must-win scenario for me if I would have came into that match having lost to Tanner, which I did. But he had to pull out because of injury, so that match didn't get played. And... Ian Fradinger, who I played on Friday night and was able to win against, he played Tanner Saturday night and won. So therefore, based on like wins and losses and games for and against and whatnot, I placed first. Hard to say that I won the tournament and won first, but yeah, strange occurrence there. Huge win. Congratulations to Ian Fradinger. That is a big win for him. He's a young up-and-coming player, coming along hard, you know, the way his potential and you know, the way he plays. And you know, I thought that this was something that would be possible one day. I didn't know that it would be something that would happen so soon, him pulling out a win against Tanner. But yeah, he got it that day. And in terms of, you know, being first and winning or whatever you want to call it, the tournament, that really helped me out a lot. I'm not going to lie, I was marginally more happy to find out about that, even though it is, you know, worst tournament win ever. Or placing first ever is that. But you know what? It's if all these things are going to happen regardless of everything, if I'm going to lose to Tanner on Saturday morning and he's going to beat Tanner on Saturday night, if all these things are going to happen the way that they're going to happen, I mean, I guess I would rather have it that I would place first out of it, win, than not. So, I mean, it's a little bit of a plus. I would have rather won that match. If you had to ask me, I guess I would say that I would have rather won the match than won the tournament, because of the damage and change that happened to the rankings that may affect... shout out to Trevor Webb, another one of my buddies. He is now... ranked lower because of that loss as well, and I feel very bad about that, and I might have negatively affected his draw at Nationals as well. I think originally he was going to be playing me in the round of 16, which is a much better draw than having to play, I think, Nicolas Bousquet, one of our great young players in Canada. I think he is coming in the sixth seed. And I think I was going to come in 7. So it was going to be 7-10, Trevor and I. And now he has to play Nicolas, which will be a tougher match, in a tougher round of 16 than it would have been to play me. Trevor's beaten me in the past before, and we've had battles. He killed me earlier this season in Valley Field, Quebec. And we had a good battle in Winnipeg when we played each other. You know, so he's beaten me in the past, and we've always had really close matches and good battles. So him playing me in the round of 16 was a great draw, and I fucked him unintentionally. And now I believe that he's got a tougher round of 16 now that he doesn't get to play me anymore. So shout out to Trevor, and I'm sorry that I fucked your ranking up and I fucked your draw up at Nationals. I feel bad about that, and it sucks. But... I would have rather not, quote-unquote, won the tournament, not placed first in the tournament in order to avoid these changes and fuck-ups in the draw at Nationals. But if everything's going to happen the way it's going to happen, if Nate's going to unfortunately get injured, if I'm going to lose to Tanner on Saturday morning and Ian's going to pull out a great win against Tanner on Saturday night, if all that stuff's going to happen, then if I can choose, I would definitely choose to end up being first place through all of that. So it's pretty rare that I win open tournaments, that I win tournaments. It's pretty rare that I'm able to win racquetball tournaments. I don't have very many of them on my resume, so you kind of got to cherish them when they happen, even when they happen as ugly as this one happened. So I am marginally more happy about that, about this, than, you know, once I found out about it, I was marginally more happy about the situation than I was, or I guess maybe I should say marginally less upset about the situation than I was all Saturday after it happened. So yeah, that was interesting and weird. And it was weird, but... yeah, I guess I have another, one of the rare first place tournament, finishes on my resume, quote unquote. So yeah, that was kind of weird, and I guess a little bit of a positive. I mean, I would have liked to have watched Ian play that match. I mean, he must have played really well. That's
very impressive for him to get that win. So good for him. So yeah, bit weird bummer racquetball weekend for me. Because I stayed up so late though, 15 minutes of racquetball talk. I'm sure you guys loved that. Sorry about that. That was a ramble fest about stuff that doesn't, I don't know that any of you guys really care about at all. So moving on, because I did stay up so late on Saturday night, because I was so upset, I just watched a bunch of stuff on Netflix. I finished season 10 of Trailer Park Boys. And I've said this in the past, I don't know if you guys have ever watched Trailer Park Boys. I stand, the first three seasons, I stand by as masterpiece. I love the show. Even now, I love the show. I probably will always love the show. But it's definitely a lot more lowbrow, a lot less realistic, a lot just not as good as it used to be. The first three seasons are art to me. And people maybe scoff and laugh when you call Trailer Park Boys art. But there is a lot of subtlety in that humor, and there's a lot of really clever humor. And it's, I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to say it's realistic, but it's almost like it's definitely on a more realistic side. And, you know, you got to remember that back when Trailer Park Boys first came out, there were not that many mockumentaries out there, period. Like, it might even predate the UK Office. It definitely predates the American Office. It might even have came out before the American Office. There was not a lot of... Oh, sorry, Charlie. I stepped on my dog. There was not a lot of mockumentaries out there before Trailer Park Boys. I think the Christopher Guest movies, like This is Spinal Tap, he's done a lot of mockumentaries. I think those predate Trailer Park Boys, but there wasn't many. So it was definitely a new show, and there's a lot of really hilarious stuff that happens. Season 4 and 5... Four especially is, I love that season, I really do, but it gets into some pretty unrealistic, ridiculous stuff. It's still hilarious to me, but it's just not quite the same, it's not in the same level of 1, 2, and 3. Season 5 is awesome. I love season 6. A lot of people kind of have a problem with season 6. I'm really big on season 6. It's right up there for me with the rest of them. But then season 7 is the one where there's a marketed decline. I think for me, season 7 is the least of them all. This is where the characters start to become imitations of themselves. And I just find that the show isn't nearly as good anymore. Then they stopped with the show used to be on Showcase. And they put out some movies and some specials and whatnot. The Christmas special is one of the, if not maybe the best, Trailer Park Boys there is. The Christmas special is unbelievable. I would say add it into your Christmas traditions of what you watch during Christmas. It is something you should watch every Christmas. It is awesome. I love it so much. It's a prequel, and yeah, it is amazing. But so then there's a hiatus. They weren't on Showcase anymore. Eventually they bought the rights. Mike Clattenburg was one of the original creators and writers and directors and everything. And I don't know the whole story. Apparently, the boys got the blessing to carry on without Mike Clattenburg. I think Barry Dunn, who plays Ray in the show, I know that things are not as amicable with Barry Dunn. I hope everything's amicable with Mike Clattenburg. I guess Barry Dunn was... I don't know. I know Corey... Trevor, the Corey and Trevor characters, Trevor had big problems with Barry Dunn especially, and Mike Volpe as well, and left. There was contractual obligations. They weren't getting paid very much, even though the show was highly successful and making a lot of money, and a lot of that was Barry Dunn. So Trevor left. Well, Corey and Trevor. Trevor especially left after season 6, and Corey followed him just out of solidarity. They're really good friends outside of the show and with the show. His name is Michael Jackson. Funny enough, Trevor's character's name is Michael Jackson, and he left the show and never came back. Corey eventually came back, but I heard that the blessing was given for the boys to carry on with the characters, and I hope that everything's amicable, especially with Mike Clattenburg. I've always been a fan of his work. He's got a new show out now called Black Jesus, and I watched a little bit of it, and I don't know, maybe I'll give it another shot. I wasn't huge on it. I didn't hate it or anything. I wasn't like, oh my God, this is horrendous, but I just, it didn't quite, there's a lot of good shows out there, and it didn't quite spark my attention the way that you kind of need to nowadays, not to be a stuck-up snob or anything, but there's just so many shows, so you can't bother spending time on something that's just okay. Iron Fist, I watched the first episode of that, and it fucking sucked, and I'm just not going to watch it. You may have heard Bob and I talk about that on Grown Men Coloring, and yeah, he says he's going to watch it because he's a Marvel sycophant and watches everything. I kind of watch everything too, but I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to watch Iron Fist, and I haven't checked out Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter and all the other Marvel shows. I've heard varying degrees of good or okay things about those, but I don't think I'm going to give... I might get into the network shows at some point, but... yeah, I'm not going to finish Iron Fist. I'm just going to watch, I'm going to get a summary of what happens so that I'm up to date for the Defenders and the rest of the series. But yeah, you can't spend, so it was okay. Maybe I'll watch it again and love it. But you know, I've always been a Mike Clattenburg fan, so I hope that everything's been okay going forward with the boys about that. But they, basically, anyways, they bought the rights for the characters and then got picked up by Netflix. So now they're doing Trailer Park Boys seasons on Netflix. And I do think that those seasons have been better than season 7. I think I love Trailer Park Boys. I think it's, I'm sort of automatically, you know, 5-starring everything, even though it's not as good. And you know, honestly, this last season I might give it a 3 out of 5. I did like it. It's legitimately funny. There's a lot of good stuff. Some cool things that happened, but I don't think that it will ever be to the level that it was through the first 6 seasons. It's just, they're sometimes imitations of themselves, and they don't, I don't think the writing is as strong as it used to be. You know, but it's still very good, and the characters, a lot of why you watch the show are for the characters, and I still love it, but it's just not like it was in the first 6 seasons. The first 6 seasons, for me, is... you know, the golden time of Trailer Park Boys. And even on top of that, the first 3 seasons. I'm not necessarily saying that the first 3 seasons are better than the preceding 3. So I'm not saying that 1, 2, and 3 are necessarily better than 4, 5, and 6. If you put a gun to my head, I might say that. But it is, I think there is more quote-unquote art and realism. And if I had to really, I know... You mentioned Trailer Park Boys to a lot of people, and they think that you're nuts and you like hacky comedy, and fuck you. It's a great show. There's a lot of creativity in it. There's a lot of subtleness to the humor. And someone of that ilk, I would be showing material from seasons 1, 2, and 3 before I would be showing the material from 4, 5, and 6, even though I do legitimately love and stand by seasons 4, 5, and 6. It's not at the level of 1, 2, and 3 for me in terms of just, yeah, it's hard to explain, but I think, I don't, like 5 and 6 or, and 4, I love 4. There's just some really out there stuff, some supernatural-ish stuff. So there's, I don't want to spoil it. My shout out to my friends, Colin and Jess, they're watching Trailer Park Boys right now, and they're starting from the beginning. And I'm so excited for them because I really love that show so much, and I am so excited to see them experience early Trailer Park Boys. I'm really invested in this, so I don't want to. I don't think Colin or Jess, definitely not Jess, listen to the show. Every now and then, I talk about something that I think Colin might have a say in, like Die Hard or Star Trek or something, and I tell him to listen. And a lot of the time he does and gets back to me, and I really appreciate that because I know it's not the most lit. There's lots of podcasts out there that we're like shows. It's like shows. There's a lot of great shows out there. There's a lot of great podcasts out there. So to be wasting your time on us is a big solid, and I really appreciate that a lot. So I appreciate when he does that. So if he is listening right now, shout out. I'm so excited for you to experience Trailer Park Boys. I'm like a proud papa right now. Just, you know, I'm just like a dad watching their son bloom up, or their daughter, or whatever. And I'm just so excited for experiencing one of my favorite shows of all time through their eyes. And I hope you guys love it. And I hope you enjoy it. And I hope it finds you well. And yeah, I'm excited to see what they think, especially the early seasons. Yeah, it's just great. So anyways, yeah, they're on Netflix now, which is awesome. I love Netflix. I love what Netflix is doing. They just can put out shows and not have to worry about network, you know, limitations and focus groups and executives saying, don't do this, don't do that, all that horse shit. Netflix is out of that. They can just do what they want. If you're on Netflix, you can do what you want. And it's really cool that they bought Trailer Park Boys and have them on Netflix. They've got them, and yeah. So it's really cool. And so I watched the rest of season 10, and there's some really cool stuff. There's kind of some dumb stuff, I'm not going to lie, but I do. It was enjoyable. I did really enjoy it a lot, and I still love the show. Even though, like I said, you know, the characters can become imitations of themselves a little bit, and the storylines maybe aren't as strong as they used to be, but it's still a great show, and I think I will love it for as long as it's around, and I hope that they continue to put, as long as they're able to put out great stuff, I'll still watch, and I'll still love it. I just don't know that they'll ever be able to reach the heights that they had in seasons 1 through 6, but hopefully, yeah, it'd be wonderful if they could. But you know, sometimes it's like a great NHL player on the back nine of their career or whatever. They're still great, you know. They're still gonna pot 20, maybe even, you know, 20, 25 goals. You know, it's in that kind of, you know, it's like that. You know, it's still great. It's still valuable. They're still, you know, good enough to be in the NHL and be a pretty good player in the NHL. And yeah, it's kind of, yeah, like I said, you know, I've repeated a few times, I don't know that they'll ever reach the heights that they had in seasons 1 through 6, but it's still great. It's still a lot of fun, and it's great spending time with those characters and seeing what they're up to. So yeah, I love the show, and it was nice watching season 10. I also watched, I've started this movie in the past. It's called Blue is the Warmest Color, and I don't know that it's for everyone. It's very long. It's just over 3 hours long. It's a French film, so you got to read subtitles. I had watched almost half of it before Saturday night. I decided to watch. I was going to chip away on it. I was going to watch a little bit of it and then maybe stop and then watch some more of it later. Kind of watch it in chunks like I had been doing. I ended up watching the whole rest of the thing. And the whole rest of the film. And yeah, I don't know that I can recommend it. I don't know. Like, I'm a little bit of a snob and pretty highbrow on films. So I don't know how many out there would watch it and like it. There's not a lot of highbrow people. I'm very highbrow, and I don't know that a lot of people would be. But it's really interesting. The way it's filmed is really interesting. You're kind of like, you're following these characters, one especially, kind of through their life, and it's filmed very handheld in your face, in her face, and in the character. It's very close and almost claustrophobic in the way that it's like it's following these characters through their lives, and it's, you know, I imagine that the dialogue is written, but it feels very just real life. It's like you're watching real life, and real life watching it, you know, there's lots of exciting moments, but not all of it is always exciting all the time. But I'm never bored watching the movie. Like, there's, it just kind of goes through what these characters are doing, and especially the one, and there is a very if you like to see scenes of things happening, people doing stuff to one another, there are towards in the second half of the movie there are a lot of those scenes, and they're quite one of them goes on for a very long time. It's a girl on girl scene. So if you don't like to go to dirty websites to see those things, if you like to see those things in film form, There's many scenes of that, and one of them goes on for a very long time. So there's that. The film was rated NC-17, and I think that is exactly why. It maybe could have gotten an R rating if it could have just shortened up some of those scenes. And I know that's a big deal to a lot of filmmakers. They like to avoid getting NC-17 ratings because it's very hard for a film to do well in the theaters with an NC-17 versus an R. You know, you can do a lot. And basically, the lower your rating is, you have a better chance to see more eyeballs in theaters. But, you know, some movies are just going to be rated R no matter what, and that's that. But it's a big difference between an R and an NC-17. But I guess the filmmakers were fine with the NC-17, and that was the film they wanted to make. They didn't want to turn away from the stuff that was going on between their characters, and that's an artistic choice, and I'm sure a lot of our male listeners would really enjoy that. So I mean, I don't know that you'll like the film in terms of its length and its kind of the meandering way that it, exposes its plot. I don't know if everyone would like that, but I know for me, you're kind of thinking, and it's like, man, this is really kind of chumming along here. Like, it's kind of, plotting, but I was never bored. I'm watching these things happen, and I'm very invested and feeling the one. I don't want to spoil anything, but there's one of the characters is going through something towards the end of the film, and it's just, you're really feeling it with her. It's really, man, like it, based on what I was saying about the scenes that happen, when I say you're really feeling something for her, that you might take that out of context and think that I'm referring. It maybe sounds bad, but I don't want to spoil anything. You're just, there's things that are happening and things that are being felt. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean the dirty stuff. But yeah, you really feel and empathize, and you're never bored. I was never bored. So, you might have been bored. I have a short attention span, and I do feel that I get bored easily, but I was never bored, so I'm really debating whether it's a solid 3 or a 4 for me, a 4 out of 5. I always classify movies based on the Netflix star rating. So I've said this before many times on air: 1 hated it, 2 didn't like it, 3 liked it, 4 really liked it, 5 loved it, and I'm debating between a 3 and a 4. I think I may have really liked this film. It's long, and there's a lot of just kind of things where just life is happening, not really anything crazy. It's just life being lived. But I was never bored, and I was really empathizing with one character in particular, and it was tough. It was, I don't want to spoil anything. It was a enriching film experience. I think I really like this movie. So that was a positive out of a negative from the rough racquetball weekend. And also watched The Color Purple with Whoopi Goldberg, Oprah Winfrey. I think Oprah won an Oscar for it. Did you know Oprah Winfrey is an Oscar-winning actor? But yeah, so watch that movie. It was okay. It was good. It was long. Again, that was for movie night. Shout out to Jess and Colin. We do movie night, and that it was my wife's time to pick the movie, and she picked The Color Purple on my recommendation. She's always been a big Oprah fan, and that movie was nominated for Best Picture back in the 1985 year. So I guess in the 86 Oscars, it was nominated for Best Picture, and I would have to see the other movies of 1985. I'm sure that I could pick 5 to be nominated for Best Picture over The Color Purple, but it was good. There was some really good stuff in it, and it was a good movie overall, but at times it wasn't great, but I think as a whole, it was a good movie. It was a 3. It was a 3 or 2.5 and a 3. If there was half stars, it might be a 2.5, but there isn't, so I would definitely round up to 3. It was a good movie, and there was a lot of really good stuff, and the acting was really good. Whoopi Goldberg was awesome in it, for sure, and Oprah was good, too. You're not supposed to talk shit on Oprah ever. Maybe her best supporting actress win, if she did, in fact, get it, is maybe a little surprising, but she was very good, and I would have to see other supporting actress nominations and see maybe there was nothing better, but no, she was very good. This might be an Oscar so black movie. I know the Oscars always gets flack for going with white stuff. Always white, and never, there's always, minorities, other nationalities other than Caucasian always get less love from the Oscars than what they're due. This might be a example of an Oscar so black, of one that maybe didn't deserve as much as it got, but the Academy had to make up for past racism and had to award something that wasn't. You know what, though? At the same time, and I know, okay, I'm kind of fucking around. I know people are hearing that and they're going, people, I mean, I don't know if anyone, I mean, we get like 5 downloads an episode and we're 36 minutes into this one, so I don't know that anyone's still listening, but if you are, you might be like, oh, he really stepped in it there. Well, I'm kind of joking around. I mean, there is, one of the reasons that I suggested my wife pick this movie is there is a kind of tag in one of Dave Chappelle's new specials where she talked, oh, that's some color purple type shit. Is that racist of me to talk like that? Sorry, I was trying to do a Dave Chappelle impression. And there is a scene, the scene that Dave Chappelle was referring to from the color purple in his bit was fucking awesome. And it was kind of an ongoing theme in the film, and that was really some cool stuff. So, I mean, that was great. So, I mean, it definitely does some pretty revolutionary, like, it does, it's got some iconic moments, so I'm not miffed at the Academy Award nominations. I mean, that's some pretty iconic stuff, and especially the one scene, if you ever see it, or if you have seen it, watch Dave Chappelle's bit, watch the shaving scene. Color Purple. It's very iconic, great stuff. So, I mean, I'm kind of fucking around here, but I mean, of the Academy Award nominations that I've watched over the course of my entire life, it definitely wasn't right up there for me. It was one of the bottom ones. Like I said, I think I could probably find more than 5 movies from 1985 that I would put above the Color Purple, but, it is what it is. Recording. Okay. This happened once already. I was talking, and then for some reason, the recording cut out. I went on for quite a while. I don't know if you heard me talk about Oscar So Black. But hold on. I'll go back and see what I talked about. Sorry. I went back a little ways. I don't know if I went back far enough. I might have I went on for a long time, and maybe this happened for a reason. I said maybe some controversial shit, quote unquote. It's 40 minutes into the episode, and we don't have very many listeners anyway, so I don't know if anyone's hearing this now. I was kind of joking around, but I went on a thing saying, maybe this was protecting me from me by zonking out, but I'm going to say it again because whatever. Is this an Oscar So Black movie? Because, maybe they're thinking, oh, we can nominate a black movie and quell the people that think we're being racist and blah, 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 blah. This is good. We're given the shout-outs. But then maybe at the same time, it could also be an Oscar So White movie because it was directed by Steven Spielberg. So, they can give their love to their white hope, their love to Steven Spielberg, and also give the shout out to the colored vote, quote unquote, as they say. Is that not allowed to say? Steven Spielberg, there's no bones about it, is a great filmmaker. Absolutely. And I do think that the Oscars do reward great filmmakers. However, I think that they're, whenever a great filmmaker, you know, Steven Spielberg, Martin Scorsese, Quentin Tarantino, you know, I think whenever a great filmmaker makes a film, they always have a better chance to garner Oscar nominations than others do, than other lesser knowns. So for me, maybe this is one that, you know, because it was Spielberg, it got nominated. I mean, Spielberg's amazing. This is, I mean, did I like it better than War Horse? I don't know. But for me, this is one of the worst Spielberg movies that I've ever seen. I haven't seen Crystal Skull, Indiana Jones, whatever. I haven't seen very many Spielberg movies. For me, Minority Report is still my favorite. I know that's out there for a lot of people. I have never seen Saving Private Ryan. I have seen Schindler's List, and I did like Minority Report better. And Minority Report didn't get nominated for Best Picture. So it's not, you know, necessarily that all great filmmakers get nominated all the time. I mean, Quentin Tarantino didn't get nominated for Kill Bill. You know, there's lots of, and I don't think that would be a surprise to many people, but I loved Kill Bill. For me, it was probably, I'd have to look at that year, I would say it was probably one of my favorite films of that year. I love Kill Bill. I understand that that's not going to get nominated for Best Picture. It's going to get overlooked, or not even overlooked. It's kind of more of a niche genre movie with the kung fu and everything, but I love Kill Bill, and Tarantino's my favorite filmmaker of all time. So, you know, I definitely do think that the more well-known great filmmakers get nominated more than the less, you know. So is this maybe one where the Academy was like, oh, you know, we can, our great white hope, Steven Spielberg, we can nominate him for Best Director, and we're doing our white thing, rewarding our white people, but, you know, this is going to be even better, too, because, you know, The Color Purple has black people in it, it has colored people in it, so when we nominate a Steven Spielberg movie, we also look like we're up with the racial times, we're helping the blacks, we're helping the black people get their black movie, their black movie is gonna get nominated, and that's gonna make us look really great, and we're gonna look good, when really all we wanted to do is reward our great white hope, Steven Spielberg, and be good for him. But we can kill two birds with one stone. Oh, that's great. Because we're bad. We don't like to get two birds stoned at once, because that would be a nice thing to do for people. We like to kill two birds because we're the evil white Oscar people, and we're gonna make it look like we're good, but we're really Oscar so white.
Yeah, so is that what happened? Probably not, but that was evil Oscar white people, evil Oscar Academy Award members. That was a character. So don't come down on me. That was a character named Evil White Academy Members. That was who that was, and it's funny. I said two birds stoned at once to a lady yesterday at work. And she thought it was hilarious. And I had to confess that I didn't make this up. Speaking of Trailer Park Boys, this is a Trailer Park Boys saying, one of the best ever. And I don't ever say kill two birds with one stone anymore. I decided that the way that the evil white Academy members would say kill two birds with one stone, because, you know, Trailer Park Boys would have happened after The Color Purple and them having this vote thing with themselves. But I really struggle with saying kill two birds with one stone. I think get two birds stoned at once is much better. Plus you don't kill anything. Like you're helping two birds are feeling better at once than killing two birds with one stone. I think it's a much better saying to say get two birds stoned at once. And I really struggle with saying kill two birds with one stone. And sorry, yeah, I kind of went off the rails there in the middle of my character work. Just that was because I struggle so much with saying kill two birds with one stone that I had to explain it to the viewer in that character. So sorry about that, but that I had to talk about that. So I think that we should stop saying kill two birds with one stone, because two birds stoned at once is much funnier. Much funnier. It's brilliant. And it's a positive. Like, you're doing, I mean, for a sort of quasi kind of, I mean, at least a vegetarian sympathizer, it's a nice thing. You're not killing any animals. So I like to say that. I like to say get two birds stoned at once, because I am an advocate for marijuana and I am an advocate for animal rights. And two birds stoned at once there by saying the phrase, two birds stoned at once. Thanks for listening. I hope you guys had a good time. This was a long one. I hope you tuned in from the start to the end. Maybe I don't hope that you tuned in from the start to the end, because maybe it got a little off the rails there. But I really enjoyed doing this. It made me feel better. This was for me, not for you. Actually, it was for you. I hope you guys enjoyed it. It's probably in the long run, in the end, more for me, and that I enjoy it, than for you guys, even though I'm doing it. Who would listen to me spout off about racquetball and my life and all this stuff for so long? But I hope you did, and I hope you, more than anything, I hope you liked it. But thanks for listening. It was a good time. This was good for me. I feel better, and I hope you feel better too. Have a good week. Hopefully Bob and I, maybe even Chris, will be doing a grown man coloring at some point this week, but that is often hard to anticipate and hard to set up on Chris's end anyways. Bob is pretty good about getting himself ready, willing, and able. He was fucking I didn't realize how tired he clearly was the last episode, though. I re-listened to some of it, and he's fucking yawning the whole way through. So what a fucking boring ass, lazy, tired dad boner. Not lazy. Lazy is a bad phrase. Anyone who is a father is probably not lazy, because I think raising kids is a lot of work. But what a dad boner. He's yawning away at 9:45 at night. What a fucker. But anyways, he's usually good to get him out at least once a week for a show. So hopefully we will get that going. Until next time, keep fit and have fun. What a great saying. That's another great. Keep fit and have fun. Like, that kind of sums up a lot of stuff. Like, it'd be good to, you know, keep fit and have fun. Like, that's a good way to live life. So, you know, that's not my saying, however. That's Hal, you know, copyright Hal Johnson and Joanne McLeod. So I will go with the not as introspective saying of, well, see you later.